everything is about your intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're intentionally doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So when we think about how we approach things with intention, mm-hmm. we can also look at what's our intention of doing something.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential.
Dennis Morrison is a chief business storyteller and the founder of Audience Magnet, a storytelling training program for entrepreneurs. With over 2 decades of experience in the film industry, Dennis teaches people how to apply the art of storytelling to their business and attract clients. He's worked as an editor, director, and cameraman, and he's been teaching storytelling for over 20 years.
Dennis Morrison, Chief Business Storyteller. I'm so happy to have you here to talk to us about everything you know about storytelling.
Oh, wow. Everything I know. Thanks, Ebony, for having me on your show. I can't wait for our conversation.
Yes. So tell us, Dennis, how did you kind of step into this role as Chief Business Storyteller?
Well, I created the role. That's how I stood into it.
It's always the best part to create it.
Yeah. So I started at the bottom. I started in the film business. I didn't know anything about it. And I actually got a job as an extra on an ad.
Huh.
And when I was there, I was sitting there and I thought, hey, this is a nice gig. Get paid. Just hang around in the background. Day one, nothing happened. They said, go home. At lunchtime, I was like, great. Day two, turned up and I saw these big trucks and all this gear coming out. And I went, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, when I saw them set all the gear up and what they were doing, I was like, I want to do that. So, you know, I was 18 at the time and literally that started me on my journey. And since then, that's all I've really done.
So you, as an extra on a commercial?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you saw, and I'm very familiar with those big trucks of movie stuff. I live, mm-hmm. I live in Lancaster, which is like 60 miles north of Los Angeles, but I grew up in Los Angeles and lived there most of my life. And I lived at one point near downtown LA where they did so much filming. Do you believe that they actually filmed in my apartment building
one summer?
And that was very interesting. I remember hearing this couple argue like right outside my door, and I just scared the heck out of me. And then I realized they were filming a scene because they kept having the same argument over and over. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? So that's so cool. So you saw these trucks with all this movie stuff, and then you said, I want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what did you do to begin to be involved in that?
So I just want to put context for the listeners. This was pre-iPhone, pre-digital. As far as I was concerned, there was 5 channels and you chose one of the 5 to watch stuff.
Right.
So this was a long time ago and I didn't know where to start. So I literally spent 6 to 9 months pounding the concrete in Soho, which is where the film industry is in London, knocking on doors, saying, hey, is there any work? Can I get a job? Until I kind of got my first gig. So really it was just, I just kept doing it. At the time, people were like, oh, what are you wasting your time? You know, you're not going to get a job doing this. And for me, it was like, there was no option or choice. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, someone asked me, well, why did you want to do that? And I'm not really sure, but if I think about it, I probably was that, I realized that behind the scene, that's where the decisions were made. You know, whoever's behind the scene determined what was being filmed and what the audience saw. And the reality was I never saw people like me represented how I knew me on the screen.
Right.
So I think subconsciously I was like, well, actually, this is a way that I can be involved in telling stories about people that I know that resonate with me and other people like me. So that probably started the journey.
So your first gig, was that as a writer or what was that? What were you doing?
Oh, no, I started at the bottom as a runner. You know, runner. Anyone who has first gigs as a writer, I'm like, hats off to you. I started.
Now, I just wanted to clarify that for our listeners. So your first gig was a runner. So tell us what a runner does.
So a runner, I think in the States, they call you a gopher. And what does that mean? Go for that. Go for that. I used to take film roles, 35 mil roles around London to the, whether it was to a post-production company or whether it was to the developers or something like that. So I used to do that, just run around and get lunches for people. And me being me, I was like, if you're eating from a five-star restaurant for lunch, so am I. So I looked after myself in that way. And it was actually in post-production. Mm-hmm. And then I started not enjoying it. And I was just like, it just felt, I don't know, it was draining my energy. And I was wondering, and I realized in post-production, it's run by bankers. It's just about the money. And I was just, and just my enjoyment went. And I realized, actually, I want to work in production. So I kind of transitioned from working at post houses to kind of working in production, on sets, as a runner, camera assistant, you know, doing props, helping with sound, before I decided to go and study film. So I, you know, so I went to increase my knowledge because I realized taking the working route, I wasn't going to get the skills and knowledge that I wanted for myself.
So while you were working like on the sets, doing whatever, the props, the... You were like mentally taking notes on how films were put together or storytelling, or what was it like? Oh. What were you kind of drawing from those experiences?
Ebony, if I be honest, it's so long ago, I can't remember. I could make something up now, but I haven't a clue. You know,
okay. Fair enough. But that's, I think the important part is that you actually took it upon yourself, took the initiative to find a way to get involved in that industry because you were compelled to learn about film.
Yes. And I think it was to learn, to realize that it was a powerful medium that persuaded people.
Yeah.
That get people to see things in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it just was like, actually, I want to be someone who's behind the scenes to enable that to happen. And the work journey informed me wanting to study film and to get the real skills of knowing the whole production process. So I was fortunate enough to learn the whole production process from pre-production to production to post-production and everything that it entails. So it's kind of, I'm probably the last generation to edit film, actual film, so edit on a Steenbeck. And I was fortunate enough to be taught by someone who's been doing it for many years. Now we'd have to do any of that. And, you know, if I fast forward, we can come back whenever you want, Ebony, but if I fast forward right now, I'm a tutor at some independent film schools where I teach the next generation how to tell stories and how to edit their films. Focus mainly on drama-based stories.
Is editing where the actual like storytelling mostly takes place?
Great question. I, like many people, you know, you want to do it and you're like, I want to be a director. Yeah. So everyone wants to be a director. Yes, because I've got this great idea. And then when I was there at film school, I was like, there's so many well-known directors that used to be editors. I don't know why, but let me just model them. I haven't a clue why. So that's when I started assisting, just being in the cutting room. And that's where it's put together. I like to tell people that there are three films made. When we see one film, there's three films. The first film is your script, and that's your ideal world. Everything's perfect there. You just imagine it. You close your eyes. The sunset's coming down. The characters come in. Oh, my gosh, they just look perfect. Then we come to our second film, which is the reality. It's a rainy day. The performance isn't what you expected. Oh, you're running out of time. You can't get the shots. And then the third film, that's when we put it together. That's in the edit. Mm-hmm. I like to emphasize to people which film do the audience see. It's what's done in the cutting room. Mm-hmm. And that's your last opportunity as a filmmaker and director to do a rewrite. If you think about it, we're doing rewrites at each stage. Now, original, the rewrite, okay, well, we can't get that shot. What should we do here? That's not working. You know, interacting with the actors. Then we come to the edit. And then the edit's so powerful. I like to say as editors, we're alchemists. You know, mm-hmm. we have these raw form. We're sculptors. You know, this raw form. And there we are creating the shape. Yeah, we can extend words, we can shorten words, we can just add someone's reaction shot to something which gives meaning. And we're always thinking is, how can we not only grab the audience, but move them emotionally? So it's such an important time. I've seen films that have been edited and weren't that good. And then you bring another editor in, you're like, wow. Yeah, so it's such an important time. You know, I think, you know, in the edit room, you can have great stuff and make it look not very good. You can also have stuff that's not very good and make it feel great and have a great experience.
So let's like tie this into the business world, if we can, and storytelling. What lessons did you learn about editing film that translate well into telling a story for a business?
Okay, there's many things. I think everyone says, oh, what's the essence of a story? And from my point of view, the essence of a story is connecting to the viewer or listener on an emotional level. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. Mm-hmm. Yep. So everything else is the bits that enable that to happen. Because when we connect with someone emotionally, they're non-judgy. They're open and willing to see, where does it take me? What can I learn from it? Now, in a business context, I like to call it storytelling with a purpose. It's business storytelling. We want someone to do something, to take a next step, to take an action. But although I talk about business storytelling, there's so much we need to do before. We need to know who our ideal audience is, our target audience, what are their problems that they're facing, what's the solution you offer, why they should come to you. Mm-hmm. Then when you've got that, then you can start using storytelling. And it's not about one story. Many people talk about, let's talk about your story. Find your story and then everything's okay. And that's rubbish. Mm. Yeah, because that's just one stage. Find your story is only one stage. It's about storytelling is a way of communicating. Mm-hmm. We need to tell different stories depending on when someone is on their journey with you. Mm-hmm. So it's not one type of story. It's using the art of storytelling mixed up with its cousin copywriting to craft stories that engage on an emotional level, attract your ideal audience. Because we want to do two things. We want to attract our ideal audience and repel our non-ideal audience. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not about being wishy-washy. It's about understanding who you want to communicate to and for, and then also it's your opportunity to be you, quintessentially you, quirks and all, because we buy into people. Mm-hmm. And I've done it myself. You see someone out there, you're like, oh, maybe I need to be a bit like them. Maybe I need to do it like that. And you put loads of energy in do it like that. Each time you can feel that little scratch inside going, why are you doing this? Because I'm not worthy to be myself. Mm. Why would someone listen to me? That person over there is really big. Maybe if I do what they do, maybe people will pay attention to me. And some of you listening may have the same feeling. But it wasn't until I realized that, you know what? People buy into how I do it. And if you don't buy into that, that's cool. We've saved both our times. And that's what you need to really understand is by being yourself. And it's learning. If I told you right now that 6-7 months ago, I've been practicing to be how I am in front of people on camera, I know that people, what they see on camera or what they hear is what they see me in real life. Because it's a different skill and different journey. We need to get over ourselves. What was my hang up? And let's go back now to maybe why did I like being behind the camera? Mm-hmm. And why, you know, I wasn't in front of the camera at all is because in front of the camera, it's recorded forever. I might make a mistake. I might stumble. Oh my God, it's not so perfect and polished. Mm-hmm. That's why live's so great, because when it's live, we don't think. That's why when I'm on a show like yours, for me, it's a conversation. When minute someone says podcast interview, what does an interview mean? Let me do my top button up. Let me prepare. I need to prepare for this. I don't want to get anything wrong. Can I pass the test? Minute we say conversation, when do we prepare for a conversation? Mm-hmm. We don't. A conversation is about listening to the other person and responding. So mm-hmm. that's why I say business storytelling is using structures that guides you, then listening and responding.
Mm-hmm. Structures that guide you to listening and responding. Okay, so you mentioned something I think is important. There's one word you mentioned that, you mentioned a lot of words that are important, but there's one that stood out to me, and that's persuasive. Mm-hmm. Because I think with storytelling, we're always trying to convince an audience of something or persuade them of something. What are some strategies? And I think this ties in a lot, especially with copywriting, right? But what are some strategies that we can use in order to persuade our audience to just trust us, to want to, you know, get to know more about us? I guess it's like building a relationship with your audience, right? That mm-hmm. persuasive mm-hmm. element.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what? There's not one way. Anyone who says to you there's one way, you know, we have to say, hey, is that BS? That worked for you.
Right.
I think one advantage with storytelling, it doesn't matter what platform, it's platform agnostic. You can use it in audio, you can use it in video, you can use it written, you can use it in ads, you can use it in Instagram posts, you can go all the way to writing an article. That's the advantage of storytelling. So it's not about the platform. But I know this sounds crazy, but the first strategy is just to start. Get over yourself. Just mm-hmm. put something out there. Don't think too much. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I'm a big believer of frameworks, and that's what the platform that I've created is about. It's about giving people the tools and frameworks. So you don't have to think about, how shall I structure this? You just need to think about, what's the journey I'm taking them on? And then write. So that's really important. I think structures are there for a reason. There's more than one structure. You'd have many people believe that there's only one structure, the hero's journey, the 12 stages.
Yeah.
You know, there's an epic thing that happens to you. And most of us are like, well, my life's been all right. You know, my parents have been good. I've had a pretty good childhood. Nothing drastic has happened to me. How does that work for me? Well, there are many. There are many. And we're always going through journeys. Remember, we're aiming to attract our ideal audience that resonate with us. Mm-hmm. And I like to say that my business is called Audience Magnet, but the thing about Audience Magnet, it's not about me being the audience magnet. It's about you becoming the audience magnet for your ideal audience. And that's where the stories come in. It's about, as you tell them, they spot you like a radar, and then they're drawn closer to you. Mm-hmm. So although people say, hey, how can I sell with story? Even I say that. Really, it's like we're getting them to choose us because they want to buy. That's a subtle difference. They are choosing to buy from us because through our stories, I haven't fully answered your question. I'm going to get to it. But through our stories, they start to trust us, mm-hmm. understand that maybe we could be the right guide for them mm-hmm. on the journey that they're on. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to showcase our knowledge, remembering that showcasing our knowledge is about them, not you. Mm-hmm. It's not about, look at me, look how great I am. It's like, hey, this is how I solve something, or I did this, and this is how it relates to you. Mm-hmm. And then as that happens, they might be at different stages. We need to come to our cousin copywriting and have a call to action. Many people miss this. They tell stories and you're like, hey, that's great. See you later. We need to have calls to action. Call to action doesn't mean buy my stuff. It could be a call to action could, hey, what did you think about this? You know, have you experienced the same thing? Why don't you reply here and tell me where you dealt with that? Mm-hmm. So call to action is, what would we like someone to do? Because we want to get them into the habit of taking some kind of action when they interact with us. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on.
No, so did that answer your question?
Kind of. I think maybe if we make it a little bit more practical, perhaps like with an example. So let's say okay. I'm selling cookies. I'm a baker and okay. I want to start my own baking company or whatever. Okay. So I could, when you talk about storytelling, mm-hmm. do you mean I could like tell the story of how I became a baker or tell the story behind why I wanted to start this company? Like I was a kid and I've always loved cooking and people were telling me that I would never make it as a baker. And then, or what do you mean by using our story to attract an audience?
Okay. So my first question to that person is like, why are you telling the story? Is it just to tell people like why I started this company, or do you want someone to take an action? They're two very different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if it's about, hey, why did I start this business? Okay, that's great. I'm happy for you. But who are you targeting? Are you targeting a customer? Are you targeting an investor? Are you trying to get people into your shop? You know, so it's really about, this is where we talk about, you know, your ideal customer or avatar. There's multiple of them. So there's not one. That's why I say people at different stages of their journey with you. They could be at the start, but they have different profiles as well. So the first step is, why am I telling this story? Because it's not about me, it's about you.
Right. Yeah? Yeah.
The next thing, as a baker, it will be, okay, yes, let me say why I did this. But what's the purpose of me telling you why? Is the purpose to show why I'm really passionate and love goes into my cooking? That's why when you taste it, it tastes wonderful. Yeah. Is it the purpose to say, hey, I was inspired by this, and maybe you could resonate with having something else that's not about cooking, which kind of takes your being and drives you to do something? Mm-hmm. You know, is the story about you making it? Why, you know, it could be because I do it and because I just make this up, you know, because I have a family, I have some children, and I'll spend more time with them. So your story is, I do this because it allows me to have more freedom and time, yet still do the same thing. So when I say there's multiple types of stories, it's not just one thing. Mm-hmm. And you could be telling multiple stories. And that's just the first stage. You know, mm-hmm. You know, there could be a reason, you know, so that, imagine that story one, but you could have other stories. How you choose ingredients, why you choose the ingredients, yeah? You know, what happens when something goes wrong, why you did this, how you came across this, how did you stumble upon this? Oh, yeah, my Aunt Susie used to do this, and, you know, I used to really like it, but there's one thing I didn't like, and then that's really interesting. Then we could maybe tie that in, why you use dried herbs over fresh herbs, depending on what you're cooking. It could be cakes and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Then it could be stories about your customers or your people you'd like to be customers, the experience they have from it. Yeah. So, for example, that experience could be just contentment and joy when they eat my cookie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the experience you are getting across. So you are selling contentment and joy. Mm-hmm. The cookie's the vehicle to that. Now, many people may or may not want a cookie, but contentment and joy, many of us do want that. So as you can see, when we start exploring it and doing it on purpose, it's actually about what's the approach, the strategic approach within our business in order for our business to grow and blossom. Because the reality is, if we're in business, we want to serve our ideal audience. We want to give them a transformation of some kind. We want to earn more, and we want to have more freedom. That could be time, resources, energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What I really heard from you is that the intention behind whatever story you're telling is important. Mm-hmm. You should be clear on why am I telling this story?
Definitely.
And then another thing I heard is that the audience matters, because if your audience is an investor, that might be a different story you would tell versus like if you're talking to, you know, a stay-at-home mom with kids.
Exactly.
Okay, so know your audience and your intention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then that will help to guide your narrative.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, I think that's really good advice, because I was just talking to someone before you. It's so interesting how you guys booked on the same day, but he was also talking about storytelling and how people just overlook the audience, right? They don't really think about the other person on the receiving end of the story. We just think of ourselves and what we want to say and how we want to tell it, not really thinking about the conversation, as you mentioned, that's really happening between me and my audience.
Exactly. I mean, as I say, it's like WIIFM, what's in it for me? That's all anyone really cares about. Doesn't matter what they say. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Because once I understand what's in it for me, I'm interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Whereas if you're into what's in it for me, they're like, well, if it's all about you, I've got other things to distract me. And I think the thing is, we're competing for everything now. You know, we're competing for people's attention. That's what we're competing for. It could be the phone. It could be watching stuff. It could be work. It could just be life. It could be travel. We are competing for people's attention. So how can we get them to hear us first and foremost?
Mm-hmm.
And then how can we get them to choose to want to listen to us? Because everyone's making a choice. So we're literally, how can we make it easy for them to say, yes, I want to hear what you're saying again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that really resonated with me. So I think that's the challenge that many people are facing. And this is when you infuse storytelling in your business, tied in with business strategy, this is when you can start to see it benefiting you.
How important is it, Dennis, to do any type of like market research when you're trying to develop a story? Or is that even in part of the equation where you're actually like interviewing your potential customers or your audience or asking them questions, trying to figure out who they are? Or is it kind of like you try something and you kind of trial by error, I guess, you see what works and what doesn't? Or is there research involved?
There's different approaches to it. So there's not one rule. Yes, if you have customers or people that you can do some research, that's great. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're starting from scratch. So it's really about thinking about, you know, this is when we just work out who's our ideal avatar. And we go through the process of who they are. What do we think they look like? You know, what are the challenges they're facing? And then what gives me the right to serve them? Okay. Who am I? Yeah. How can I enable them to alleviate them or give them the transformation or remove this challenge that they're facing? So I would encourage people is not to overly get caught up with, I need to survey interview people. Because if you have no one, that's stumbling block number one. So if you're listening to someone who says you must survey people, you're like, well, I've got no one. You're like, okay, I need to work out to offer something. And I think we kind of know who would like to serve.
Uh-huh.
And that's step one.
Mm-hmm.
However, if that person doesn't respond, we're going to learn about who we should be targeting more. Step two.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say sit down 25 minutes, you know, and work out who's the first audience or avatar we're going to target for my business, and then work out a game plan of how you're going to approach that and see what results you get, and then look at the results and make changes as and when necessary.
And you mentioned before, like, when it comes to storytelling, like structures, and is there any formula? I think you mentioned, you talked a little bit about this earlier, but I want to kind of get more into it, because I think when people sit down to write a story, they think of it in terms of being formulaic. Like there's, you know, there's a beginning where I introduce this character myself or whatever, and then I have to have a conflict, and then I, you know, have to resolve it. Is that applicable in when we talk about storytelling for business, where there's like a conflict resolution type thing?
Very applicable, but that's not just the only type of story. You know, the story could be a lesson, you know, the story could be, hey, you know, I went to get a coffee and I saw this person doing that, and then this happened. And do you know what? It really got me thinking about this other thing. Then tie it into your business or your service you offer. Bang, you got a story. Yeah?
Yeah.
So when you think about that, conflict could be your thought process. Struggles you might be going through here, this way or that way. So it doesn't need to be this big conflict. So yeah, that's a structure that works well, but there are other structures. Can I just talk about a simple My Story framework that I like? And there's multiple My Story frameworks. Yeah. But for your audience, I got a gift, and one of them, you know, if they, it's called the four types of storytelling. We have 60 different ways you can use story depending on the medium. And if they choose to get this gift, they'll get access for free to a 5-day mini course called Sell with Story. And I like to say 5 days to determine your next 12 months. And one of the frameworks and one of the days, and all I'm asking is that you invest 25 minutes each day to yourself. And I think if your business isn't worth that, then maybe you shouldn't be doing business, you know? So so this is just one of them. And I'm just going to go and read through the different sections within this just so people can think about this. This is My Story framework. Remember, there are more than one. That's why I like to say. Now, I like to say frameworks, not formulas. Because formulas to me sound like fill in the blanks and you'll get this and you'll sound like this. For me, frameworks are different for each person because they're responding on the different stages. They're different for you, depending on your mood or where you are on your own journey. That's why they're so powerful. Yeah. So I like to remove, they're not formulaic. It's not like, put this in, this comes out. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to put in, but I've got this structure to go through. So I know how I should be thinking at each structure, and what comes out is unique to that moment or who I'm targeting. So let's look at this My Story framework. This is 9 questions the audience can ask. Who are you? And again, think about questions. It's how you translate it. It's not there's no right or wrong way. It's how you translate the meaning of what you're being asked. And each person translates it differently. So I think the other thing to people to understand, there's no right or wrong. It just is. So when there's no right or wrong, it doesn't matter what you do. It just is. Yeah. So that's why I encourage people, take action. Don't be worried. And let's go through this one. So question one, who are you? Then what makes you unique or special? Then what's your gift? Why do you do what you do? What inspires you to do what you do? What do you love about doing it? Now, I like this question, the next one, a lot. What qualities do you have that earns you the right to influence others? Remember, this is the key question. It's not about what do you know, what skills, what qualities as a person do you have? Yeah? So that really makes people are coming with the right intention. Yeah? Then we've got, how does your product or service benefit others? Remember, it's about them, not you. It's not about, well, if I can get people to buy, yeah, I'll be able to make more money and do that. No, this is how it benefits them. And if I can get that across well enough, they will come to me. And the more I do that, the more I grow as they grow. And then why should people come to you? So why should they come to you over someone else? So that's just one My Story framework that people can work through that gets them. And the other thing about these frameworks, it gets you thinking. You got to think and go, okay. So by doing this one framework, it gets you clear on what you're offering and what your gift is. And you might not know what your gift is, so you can ask friends. Friends are great. They're going to tell you to the point. Hey, why do you love being around me? You know, you're just really good with people. You know, how you communicate. Oh, I think the other thing as individuals is it's a bit like brushing your teeth. When you're instinctively good at something, you maybe don't value it as much as you should. Because this simple thing that you do, someone else can't do.
Right. Yeah.
So this allows you to not think about, and if you notice, I didn't really talk about skills in this My Story. Skills can be learned. Like storytelling is a skill. Skills can be learned. But when we understand the qualities and the gift, we can then map that to something. You know, I have a framework that I've created myself called Define Your Path that's in one of my programs. And the thing about that whole framework is everyone's talking about, and so this is going to flip everything I've said on its head, but I feel By doing this, you can do the other bit. Everyone talks about what other people want. But I feel that you need to know what you want first. Because that enables you to be selfless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's called define your path. It's like, what do you really want? What skills do you have that you could use? Because how do you want to live? Do you want to create something when you're working all the time or not? What do you want? When you're clear on what you want, right, great. Now, let's work out the offer. Let's work out how it could be about your audience, because you're clear on why you're doing this and what you want, the outcome you want from it.
So that goes back to intention. That's really what you're talking about when you say, what do you want?
Exactly.
And so in this particular framework, where you go through these questions, like who are you and what's your gift and what inspires you? This sounds like really like self-discovery, so that you're sure that you're clear on what you want, what your message is, at least, so that it can resonate with other people. How important is it to understand, because when you talk to marketers and people in business, they always talk about understanding your audience's pain points. Like, what is it that your audience is struggling with? Right? How important is it to know that? Because do you need to align your story with their pain point?
Good question. When it's about them, then you structure things so it resonates with them. So yes, I agree. It is about looking at people's pain point. You know, if we got a toothache, we want to fix it.
Yeah.
But if someone says floss every day and you ain't got a problem, you could forget to floss. Yeah. So it's really, it's about looking at the pain points. Yes. Doesn't always mean rubbing the pain point in people's faces. Could be highlighting it. Yeah. So I think that is important. It is important. But once you know that, it enables you to approach it in different ways. Now, if we look at it, it's not like a nail and a hammer. We're more like sculptors with a chisel. We try different angles to get the shape, not just hitting the same thing all the time. So by doing that, we want the same outcome, but we're approaching it different ways because people respond differently. You know, people, the thing that sparks someone may be different to someone else. So we are looking at all of these things. And again, by infusing you in it, even if you're talking about your story, how does it relate to your audience so they can be on the journey and feel they're part of it? Then the offer you're offering, and again, I like to say this is business storytelling, storytelling with a purpose. It's not just regular storytelling. This is the arc of the story and, you know, and this is what the hero gets. It's actually... we go back to the word intention. I'm intentionally crafting stories in order to take you on a journey because there's a destination I'd like you to get to. And that destination could be my client, which then starts a new journey.
Yeah, and I'm putting it together because that journey that you're taking them on to get to the destination, which may be for them to be your client, I think part of that destination also would be to resolve whatever problem they have. Like that's part, it's almost like your journey is merging with theirs, right? You're taking them on this journey on how to overcome whatever problem you can help them overcome.
And I think the other thing is you only need to be one step ahead. You don't need to be at the top of the stairs. You just need to be one step ahead of the person you're guiding. Like anything, if I'm one step ahead, I can tell you where to step and where not to step. Sometimes people are at the top of the stairs and they forgot what it's like to take the first few steps. So you don't need to know it all. You know, have an insatiable appetite to want to learn, to want to grow. And more importantly, to know that you've learned something before so you can learn something again. It's not about that, you know?
Now, so this storytelling, the business storytelling, are you primarily talking about storytelling with words? Or what if someone says, you know, I'm more into images and photography or something, and I'm not such a great writer. Can what you are teaching with the different frameworks, can they be applicable to different modes of storytelling?
I would say less. If you just want to do photographs and that's it, maybe I'm not the right space for you. But if you're, you know, for most people, in order to affect any change with someone and to grow your business, you're either talking or typing. So anywhere where talking's involved, yeah, that could be audio, video, or typing. That's any kind of writing. So how would I say it's applicable to someone who does do imagery? What do you write in the caption? Mm-hmm. How do you communicate in the caption? Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember, stories isn't about it being long. It's about the journey you take the audience on. And I think with photography, you could take people on a, you know, this one I talked about, emotional journey. You could really use the imagery to evoke that emotion and pepper that with the right words that brings them on a journey. Because remember, a story without a purpose isn't business storytelling. It's not going to grow your business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you imagine if you're a photographer and a wedding photographer, yeah, you can show a great wedding. And then people are like, oh, that's nice. I might want that in the wedding. But I've seen 50 other photographers who have nice wedding photos. So I might choose them. The question is, how can I get them to remember me? How can I become their only choice when their decision may be in a year or two? What can I do to bring that along? So that could be the journey about the bride, the joy they had, you know, the photograph that you created, you know. It could be even some of the challenges of getting a shot that you wanted. It doesn't have to be about weddings. It could be about any shots that you take. And then you had a story about it. Hey, I saw this squirrel pick up a nut and it, Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways we can craft stories. And I always say, it's like, understand the frameworks and don't overthink it. I know it sounds, you know, two opposite things, but it's low. Understand and use frameworks and don't overthink it. It's amazing what comes. And by the way, everyone, any challenges you face, I face them myself. Mm-hmm. I've got to sit myself down. Mm-hmm. I find an excuse to go and make myself a cup of tea or a coffee. I find an excuse to, oh, let me just go and check my I find it all the time. It's, you know, it's not something I'd say that is readily overcome. We just get a bit better time and time again. Mm. However, when we do have frameworks, we got a starting point. And a lot of times the hardest point is starting. When you're starting with a blank canvas, sometimes it's just like pulling teeth. You know, mm-hmm. we want to do anything. You know, sometimes something when we do it, that takes us half an hour. We spent 4 weeks thinking about it, thinking it's going to take us 3 weeks to do. We're like, oh, I've done it. So this is what this is about. And as I said, it's about practice. Understand it's a way of communicating. It's not this, oh, I'm doing storytelling. The better you get at communicating, the better people resonate with you, the better more people want to listen to you. And by adding purpose in it, you want your business to grow. You're offering a service, you know, you're offering products. You want that to grow. So you want more people to hear it. You want to build, I like to say, you know, your ideal audience, build your own tribe who tell other people, hey, you should check this out. Wow, this is great. Are you looking for this? You should do that. And I think for all of us, that's our ultimate aim, that the very people that interact with us and join our world love it so much or gain so much from it, have a, such a big transformation that they want to shout from the rooftops to other people, you got to come in here because you need to experience what I've experienced.
Right. Yeah. I've always, I when I talk with people that are in like this field of business with marketing, and I always tell them about how I'll read, very rarely this happens, but sometimes I'll read like a, what do you call it, a sales letter or something, or either online or possibly in the mail, usually online. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the sales letter, first of all, it captivated my attention from the get-go so that I actually read the entire sales letter. And then by the time I get to the end, I've had two instances where I seriously was like ready to purchase because I felt like they were speaking directly to me. Like everything they were saying in that sales letter was me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is, and so I thought, and I would, how did they do that? So I would go through and just analyze how, but that's really the power of it, is that you have to keep your audience in mind and remember that this is a conversation you're having with someone, and you're trying to really relate and identify what it is that they need and you know, speak to that, because that's exactly what if someone has a solution to a problem I've been struggling with for like 15 years, heck yeah, I'm going to right, give them my money.
Exactly. So that's,
yeah,
exactly.
It's amazing.
And I think it's like you said, someone says, well, where do I start? Well, what's the last thing that you looked at that you said, I want to buy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when you know it works, when mm-hmm. done right, when speaking to you. And what about the times, like even myself? I mean, I'd love to know what the algorithms at Amazon think my shopping profile is, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the kind of person that might spend 3 months researching something and decide or not to decide. And other times I know what I want, I go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested how the algorithms work, because, you know that you want something. And some of the times you know you want something only after, as you said, seeing or reading something about it. Uh-huh. Didn't exist in your world. You're like, oh my God, I need this in my world now. Mm-hmm. It's going to help me. It's going to save me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really resonate with that. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for the same experience that you had. We want our audience to have that experience through our own things as well.
Yeah, that's it's just amazing how powerful words can be, right? How powerful and how powerful when they're put together in the form of a story. That's even more. It's like a superpower. If you're any type of storyteller, whether it's for business or, you know, writing books to take people out of their world to give them an escape, that's like a superpower.
It is. It really is. It's, yeah. You know what? It's a superpower. And it's also a power that can be gained. It's not elusive to only a special few. And when we see these people with these superpowers, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget the time and energy and dedication they've put in to have that unique superpower.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that can put people off. That's why part of the frameworks and, you know, the whole platform is to, hey, don't worry about it. I've done all the hard work for you. Yeah, you got to do the writing and putting it together. The words are there, the libraries are there, all the structures are there, so you can just think, watch, light, add. You know, and understand that when we do read something or when we do see something, there are structures that are used. And if you look at films or dramas or even episodics, there are structures that use, but the stories are so different.
Yeah.
So different. And that's where the power comes in. And you know, if they all try to be like someone, the same person, it would be kind of boring. And this is where you are uniquely you. And, you know, there'll be people out there where you are the exact person that they've been searching for.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like aligning your personality with their need. Yeah, that's I'm glad that you mentioned that you can do this just with practice, right? It's not something that, because I think a lot of people get intimidated where they feel like, I'm not a writer, I can't do it. But if you have resources like your frameworks and other things, and you're willing to put in the work, then you can, you know, I think we're all storytellers in some way. I mean, we're always telling ourselves stories in our heads over and over and over again, right? So it's just a matter of kind of taking that and codifying it, like all the craziness in our heads and, you know,
exactly. I mean, I like to say storytelling is a language that we know so well, we just don't know the details.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We know how it affects us. We know when it's said in one way and what this is meant. We know all of this. We tell stories all the time when we're eating dinner. You know, we're telling a story while we're late.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a language you know so well. We don't know the details. And what you're actually doing is learning the details. So you're intentionally saying and structuring things in a way because you know it works, because it works on you time and time and time again.
Yeah. And you know, just when you were talking, I was thinking, that's so true. This is how we communicate with each other through story, right? Yeah, we tell each other a story at the dinner table. We meet someone, how's Susie? This is what she's up to. I mean, you're telling a story about Susie. It's just...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely, lovely. Dennis, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah, it has
Very been enlightening. Tell us where we can find you.
Where can you find me? Well, you can find me in sunny London. No, I'm joking. You can find me online. So, yes, I've created a special gift for your listeners. You can get that at theaudiencemagnet.com/motivationtowrite, all one word. And what that is, as I mentioned earlier, it's the four types of storytelling with 60 different ways you can use stories, whether it's written, whether it's audio, whether it's video. If you decide to get that free gift, within a couple of days, I'll invite you to access the 5-day mini course, which is Sell with Story, completely for free. And over those 5 days, you'll get really clear. So my story that I went through is one of the frameworks for one of the days. Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to go through that and more and really get clear on what you offer and what your customers are looking for, your ideal customers are looking for. So again, that's something, just doing that alone and doing nothing else will really help you be clear. And it's not just something for someone who doesn't know. Sometimes we're doing something and we think we know. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I don't know about you. I've been there. I think I know.
Right.
And then I sit down and go, what I thought wasn't quite right. I was like 75% right.
Yeah.
But the 25 was the big 25%, not the small 25%. So this helps you get clearer. So you're very clear. And you mentioned it that I said it. And, you know, it's so clear. Everything is about your intention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're intentionally doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So when we think about how we approach things with intention, mm-hmm. we can also look at what's our intention of doing something. Because mm-hmm. remember, once we understand what we want, we can then be selfless. Mm. But if we don't understand what we want, we're always thinking about what we can get. And if we're able to be selfless, we will get. You know, it does take work. It does take in an offer. We're not going to get by saying, hey, is this great? You've got to ask for people to, you know, hey, do you want to join? Do you want to get this? You've got to ask. Mm-hmm. However, by attracting your ideal audience over time, even if you don't know who your ideal audience is, over time, it will reveal itself to you. And the easiest way to do that is be yourself. You've got to have some value and skill that you're offering. Be yourself, because when people see you, and I think for me, eyes are so powerful. You know, you just tell so much about someone's eyes. You know, I always say to someone, yep, look at my eyes and you decide. Yeah, because I'm happy if I'm the right person for you. And if I'm not the right person, I'm happy you're able to make that choice. Mm. Yeah. And once we do that, then suddenly we know our intention is coming from a holistic point of view.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think those are wonderful words to close on. That was lovely. Great. So I'm going to stop recording. Thank you so much, Dennis. I'm going to stop recording, but I'm just going to chat with you for a moment.
I hope you give Dennis Morrison's website a visit and check out his free gift for our listeners, because he obviously knows storytelling like the back of his hand, with over 20 years or 25 years in the film industry. He has so much to share. And if you're interested in his training program that is designed specifically for people who are looking to begin a business or people who already have a business and want to use the art of storytelling to grow their business and attract clients, then please reach out to him. Because I don't think you will be disappointed at all. In the meantime, you can also visit Zazo.com and sign up for my newsletter. And thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. I look forward to seeing you next weekend when I talk to another fabulous guest. Have a great week. Bye-bye.